Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillah, adha'afa ma hamidahu jamiu khalqihi kama yuhibbuhu wa yardahu. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم أغننا بالعلم وزيننا بالحلم وأكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالعافية. يا الله، this course number 20, how to seek pardon when a junior is wronged. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alay nawwara Allahu marqadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim amin said in one of his gatherings, sometimes we feel that if we seek pardon from a junior in explicit words, then he might become rude and show more disobedience. Sometimes we feel that he might be ashamed if we ask for pardon. These excuses apply. However, if we have to maintain a relationship with him, in which case we hope that doing something to please him should replace the words. But if the relationship is to be snapped, as when a servant is dismissed or resigns, then we should ask for pardon in explicit words on having wronged him. Both excuses lack in here when he is to be dismissed immediately. If we are prevented from asking for pardon in this case, then definitely arrogance is behind that. We can't ask for pardon. We may not have considered ourselves great, but we do submit to arrogance. It may not be a theoretical arrogance in theory, but it would definitely be arrogance in practice. If anyone does not accept the classification, it is nevertheless a wrong for which it is wajib to seek forgiveness. Hence, if by not seeking forgiveness we do not earn the sin of arrogance, then the sin of wronging him is still there. And Fasih Isa. Commentary of this. One could wrong a junior. The situation does not present itself. It does present itself to many people. An officer faces it with his subordinate staff, a father with his children, a teacher with his students, and a mentor, a sheikh, with his disciples. The senior in each case might overdo in reprimanding his junior on some mistake or in taking them to task while they had committed no wrong. It's a possibility. Such things happen often. Damage on seeking forgiveness. There is always difference in the temperament of different people. When an elder talks respectfully to someone, he might become very mild and reformed forever. But some people become more daring and disobedient when a senior shows them respect. Different temperaments. The poet Mutanabbi alayhi rahma says, إذا أنت أكرمت الكريم ملكته When you show respect and ikram to a noble man, he will be your slave. He will own him. Because of his nobility, he will feel indebted to you. Good character. وَإِنْ أَنْتَ أَكْرَمْتَ اللَّئِيمِ. But if you show respect to an ignoble person, تَمَرَّدَ, he will become more satanic. Good words to remember. Diwani Mutanabbi, Munnat Mutanabbi Ali Rahma said, إِذَا أَنْتَ أَكْرَمْتَ الْكَرِيمِ. If you show ikram to a noble person, that is good. You will win him over. He will be your slave. You will own him. You will feel so indebted to you because he is noble. وَإِنْ أَنْتَ أَكْرَمْتَ اللَّئِيمِ. But if you show respect to an ignoble person, تَمَرَّدَ, he becomes more shaitanic and satanic. Mutanabbi also adds, وَضْعُنَّدَ فِي مَوْضِي السَّيْفِ بِالْعُلَىٰ مُضِرٌ كَوَضْءِ السَّيْفِ فِي مَوْضِي النَّدَىٰ. Generosity, he continues, generosity in place of the sword is as harmful as the sword is in place of generosity. Generosity in place of the sword is as harmful as the sword is in place of generosity. So there is difference in temperaments. One man would be silent forever and not raise his head in rebellion if you are humble to him, but another might rebel even more violently if you are humble to him. Hence, one does wonder sometimes that if he were to ask his junior to forgive him, he might turn rebellious. He might become even more proud. Maulana says, choose one of two courses. Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said, decide on one of two actions. Do you have to maintain relations with the concerned junior or not? If he's a servant, will you retain him or terminate his employment? Be kind to him. If you will retain him, then instead of asking him to forgive you, use the next method. Please him in some other way, as if you're going to retain him. Please him in some other way. For example, give him a gift. Talk to him sweetly or invite him to a meal. He would thus know that he is being treated kindly. The earlier wrong is now offset. Subhanallah. Earlier wrong, offset. Or ask for forgiveness. If he will terminate his service, then there is no fear that he will turn rebellious because you terminated his service. So ask him to forgive you in clear words. Be careful to mention the wrong that you had done to him. Mention that. Cure for arrogance. When you tell your servant, I had wronged you at such and such a time, so forgive me, these words take a great toll on the heart of an arrogant person. But the only cure of arrogance is to ask for a servant's forgiveness when parting with him. One advantage of that would be that you would not be called to answer in the akhirat for having wronged your servant. No answer, inshallah. Secondly, the malady of arrogance will be cured. The Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. He sought forgiveness. No one can be equal to the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in honor and office, rank or position, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. Prince of both the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In spite of that, he stood up in a large gathering and said, if ever I have wronged anyone in dealings or to his person, wealth or honor, then I am here before all of you. If the wrong person wishes, he may seize revenge from me or forgive me. A Sahabi seeks vengeance. One of the Ashab stood up. He said, I wish to take revenge from you. He asked, for what? The Sahabi said, one day you had struck me on my back And I want to avenge that. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I do not remember having hit anyone. But if you remember that, then seize your revenge. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when you struck me, my back was bare. And an equal vengeance is possible when you have no garment on your back. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam removed the cloak. He removed the cloak he had on his back and said to him, seize your revenge. When he removed the cloak, the seal of Nubuwat, Khatme Nubuwat, was on his back. The seal of Nubuwat on his back was laid bare for all to see. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's rear, to his back, and he kissed that seal of prophethood, saying, I had no intention to seek a reprisal. I only intended to kiss that seal on your back. If the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam can stand up and invite the people to take vengeance if he had wronged them, then where do we stand? Where do we stand? Why are we so proud for to seek forgiveness and sometimes apologize? Why? Why then should one feel ashamed to say, I am wrong, forgive me? Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi therefore said that one may not let sense of shame obstruct him from seeking forgiveness even from his servant. And seek it before the door is shut. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if anyone is responsible to give another a right, physical or material, then he must get his forgiveness today before the door to forgiveness is shut. Today you can persuade him to forgive you or compensate him in some way, but a time will come when you will not have anything to offer him. In the Akhirah, the hereafter, the currency of that world will be used. And what's the currency there? Taqwa, piety, good deeds. Either give him your pious deeds or shoulder his sins. No other way out. That's the currency in the Akhirat. Either give him your pious deeds, all your fasts in Ramadan and your Talaweeh and Salat and Quran and Zikr, or shoulder his sins. There'll be no other way to give him his right, his haq, and to save oneself from the punishment. No other way. So seek forgiveness before that time is upon you. Seek it before the door is shut. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi sought forgiveness in observance of the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote down a letter entitled Al-Uzr wa Nazar. He wrote therein, in that letter, I have met so many people during my life. I do not know how many I may have hurt. I am prepared to return their rights today. If I have to pay someone's monetary right and have forgotten to do that, then let him remind me and receive it from me. And if I have hurt him physically and he wishes to seek revenge, he may seize it. But if he will forgive me, then he may please forgive me. I seek forgiveness from all of you. He then sent copies of the letter to thousands and thousands of people whom he knew. For after all, he was called Mujaddid, the Mujaddid of the century, the reviver of Deen of the century, Hakimul Ummah. Mufti Muhammad Shafi's example also, the father of the author, my respected father. And notice how Mufti Taqi would address his father. It's amazing to know in India and Pakistan, subhanallah, how the children would address their parents. He said, my respected father, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he too asked me to write a similar letter, a couple of years before his death. He then had it printed in Al-Balagh too, under the title Kuch Talafi, and he also had it sent to those with whom he had some connection. He sought pardon from every one of them thereby. Thus, to seek forgiveness is not something degrading. A man is not reduced in honor in doing that. Rather, he is released of responsibility in the akhirah. You don't have to give out that which is stored up for you, your good deeds, which is the currency that you don't have to give it out. You're freed from that here. Most of all, he curbs arrogance in this way. Please the servant with a gift. If the servant will be retained and he is likely to become rebellious, if you seek his forgiveness, then please him in another way, some other way. You may, for example, give him a gift. Why? Why the emphasis on subordinate? Servants and other subordinates are such people to whom a master can be fear only if he has Allah's help. It's difficult sometimes to be fear to them. And he can be fear only if he has Allah's help. Mostly people commit excess in dealing with this section of society. A man has power over them, and he often misuses that authority. Therefore, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was particular to bring this to our attention, your subordinates, children included. Abu Bakr's example, radiyallahu ta'ala, once Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was beaten his slave for a wrong he might have committed. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him do that and remarked, Allahu akdaru alayka minka alay. Subhanallah. Few words but great meaning. Allahu akdaru alayka minka alayhi. Allah has more power over you. He is akdar, more qadir. Allah has more power over you than you have over the slave. You think you have power over the slave? Allah has more power over you. Allahu akdaru alayka minka alayhi. In other words, are you using your authority within its limits or not? If Allah were to use His strength over you, where would you be? Allahu akdaru alayka minka alay. Good words to remember when we taking out some retribution or punishing somebody, to remember that Allah has more power over you than you have over the slave or your subordinate. Maulana Tanwi's practice, alayhi rahmah. One is very likely to succumb to arrogance when dealing with his subordinates. So seek Allah's help for guidance in this matter. Maulana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi said, when I have to scold my subordinates, at the same time as I do that, I also submit to Allah in my heart, Ya Allah, do not take me to account in this manner. Ya Allah, do not take me to account in this manner. Such a man cannot trespass the limits when scolding his subordinates and he's submitting to Allah. Ya Allah, don't take me to account in this manner. Such a man cannot trespass the limits. A lesson for us. Bai Niyaz's case, listen to the story of Bai Niyaz, who was a Qadim and a servant of Maulana Tanwi alayhi rahma. Maulana Tanwi's Khalifa, Baba Najam Ahsan, Rahmatul alayhi, Baba Najam related this account. The Maulana had a servant by the name of Bai Niyaz. The servant was always close to the Maulana, and therefore he was easily excited. One who is very close to a great man usually is very demanding. Therefore he sometimes treated the Maulana's visitors with contempt. Someone informed the Maulana of that. So Maulana called him to himself and said, Niyaz, I hear that you misbehave with the visitors. Niyaz said in answer, Maulana, Do not lie. Do not lie. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. The Maulana should have been more stern on the servant, but he said, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. I seek Allah's forgiveness twice, and went the other way. I had heard one only. I had heard only one side. Later, the Maulana explained to those who asked him why that when Bhai Niyaz said, do not lie, fear Allah, why he said, Astaghfirullah. He said he remembered that he had heard only one side, though he should have heard Niyaz's story too. Only after hearing both sides, he should have taken the next action. He scolded him without giving him an opportunity to explain, so he was wrong, and hence he said, Astaghfirullah. But you know what Niyaz really meant? Baba Najm-e Ahsan, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, I do not think that Niyaz accused the Maulana of lying, and so he must fear Allah. I don't think it was that. Rather, he meant that those who had complained to the Maulana, they should not lie. Do not lie. Do not lie. They should not lie, but they must fear Allah. And in speaking that in a hurry, he addressed the words to the Maulana, Maulana. But he means telling these people, do not lie. Fear Allah. That's what he really meant. But yet still, Maulana, what is istighfar? Those who stop at Allah's limits, the hudud, that's a very, very big thing. What we should observe is that when he scolded a servant, the Maulana remembered that he had heard only one side before deciding and was wrong and sought Allah's forgiveness for that. And a lesson for us. We like to hear one side of a story and make a judgment. Make a judgment. The Maulana remembered that he had heard only one side before deciding and was wrong and sought Allah's forgiveness for that. And you know what that? What is that? What that says about the man? About Maulana Tanwi alayhi rahma? Kana waqafan inda hududillah. Kana waqafan inda hududillah. He was one who stopped at Allah's limits. He didn't go further. He stopped at Allah's limits. This is why he is known as Hakimul Ummah. Hakimul Ummah. The wise man, the sage of the Ummah. And we can all bear witness, Allah Ta'ala let his teachings spread in the four corners of the world. Today we call a few known customs as religion. Few customs we call that as deen. Although all this is part of religion and deen, how should one behave at different times? We must strike that balance, and that's why these discourses are so important. It is not easy to avenge with fairness, you know. So be careful sometimes when we have to be careful when we want to avenge. Be careful. One has to swallow one's anger when dealing with one's juniors. We have to be careful not to commit excess. And if we do that, then we must seek pardon. Besides, we must take care that the junior does not rebel also and spoil himself, as was mentioned. To strike a balance between the two is to maintain the limits of Allah. Normally, one cannot learn this without acquiring the company of a sheikh and his training. Rather, a man might go wrong without him. Of course, one who is trained regularly, he knows how he should conduct himself. These things cannot be expressed in words. Rather, it is a condition of the heart. And when the heart is conditioned, it prompts one how to behave. Very important. It is a condition of the heart. And when the heart is conditioned, it prompts one how to behave. The Quran says, فَاتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا تَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا تَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. You be aggressive against him, the like he aggressed against you, in a similar type of aggression. It must be like for like. You be aggressive against him, the like he aggressed against you. Surah Al-Baqarah. It is very difficult to put this command into practice. This is command from Allah. It is not easy to take a like revenge, you know. And we go back to the story, colors of the sages, colors of the different walis in this world. Maulana Tanwi alayhi rahmah has narrated an account in Arwahi Thalatha about a man who asked a religious man, he asked a wali, if it was true that the awliya, the friends of Allah, had different colors and graces. He insisted that he wanted to experience them, although the religious man advised him to mind his own business. So the learned elder instructed him to go to a mosque in a particular village. He would find three sages engaged in zikr. He should strike each of them a blow on their back and observe their reaction. He should then report to him. This man went there, and indeed three men were engaged in zikr. He hit one of them a blow on his back. The sage turned back and struck him a blow of the same velocity and resumed zikr. He then struck the second sage a blow on his back, but he did not even bother to see who was there. He carried on his zikr uninterrupted. When he hit the third sage, he turned back, held this man's hand, and pressing it, asked him if he had hurt his hand. This man returned and related his experience to the religious elder. He explained that these were the colors and graces of Allah's sages, his awliya. He asked the man if the sage and the wali had retaliated. When he had retaliated, had he struck a blow of the same velocity as he had struck, or with a different force? The man confirmed that he was struck a blow as hard as he had delivered, same velocity. The mentor told him that the sage had wanted to exact a like revenge. And why seek revenge? Some awliya, some of the friends of Allah, seek revenge so that the other person may not have to answer in the akhirat, and Allah doesn't wage war against him in the dunya here. They do not seize revenge to settle scores, you know. The sage took revenge that the man may be saved punishment in the next world. But he was careful not to exceed. Lash for lash, same force. Why did the other let go? The second sage did not seize revenge, because if he had happened to hit even slightly harder, then then he would have to answer for that. Why should he involve himself in that, in doing something that he would have to answer for if he goes a little beyond? Why should he involve himself in that at the cost of giving up what? At the cost of giving up what he was doing, which is zikr of Allah? And the reaction of the third sage had given himself up to such an extent that not only he did not care that he was hurt, he didn't even, not only about that, but he was worried that the striker might be in pain. Allah. These are the ways of great men. All these ways are allowed, you know. Don't feel tariqah doesn't have deep roots from Hadith and Quran. All these are allowed. The first method is allowed, for it is to seek a little revenge in the light. Sorry, it is to seek a like revenge in the light of the verse of the Quran. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. And the recompense of evil is evil, the like of it. Dalil. Second method of forgiving is also allowed. The Quran says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ. And the one who keeps patience, sabr, وَغَفَرَ, and forgives. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. That is from عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, things that take great courage and resolution. Whoever bears patiently and forgives, that surely is of the firmness of purposes. It takes great courage. And these are umur that requires great azam. Also, The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to forgive. So, laman sabara wa ghafara, inna dhalika la min azmil umur. The Nabi alayhi sallam used to forgive. He never took revenge for personal affronts. The third method is more excellent. It is to worry about the striker rather than about oneself. The gist of it. The question of the rights of fellow men, hukukul ibad, hukukul ibad. The question of the rights of fellow men is very, very delicate. Man must always be cautious lest he commits excess against someone. Today, people violate the rights of men mercilessly. They attack their lives, property, and honor, about which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man's life, property, and honor are more sacred than Baytullah, the Kaaba. What did the Nabi say? A man's life, property, and honor are more sacred than Baytullah, which means if anyone attacks a Muslim's life or property, it is like demolishing the Kaaba. May Allah protect us. The case of a man related the terrible experience he had gone through. He gave an account and relation of his experience. He was returning home from his office with money in his briefcase. Two men intercepted him, showed him their pistols, and slapped him on the face. Intercepted him, showed him their pistols, and slapped him on the face. They also abused him and demanded that he should hand over to them whatever he had. In other words, they were not satisfied with his property only. They were not satisfied with his property only, but they attacked his life, wealth, and honor. All three, life, wealth, and honor, they attacked. They give no thought. People like these give no thought to the hereafter, no thought to the akhirat, and of having to give an answer to Allah. They don't even think about that. This life is ephemeral, temporary. Even those who carry a pistol in their hands, what do they feel, the big? Even those who carry a pistol in their hands will die, and do not know whether they will pass that day or not. May Allah guide all of them, ameen, and cause them to think of their future. We too must worry about rights of fellow men, hukukul ibad. We must not hurt other people. And if we hurt them, then we must seek their forgiveness forthwith. May Allah guide us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. An alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?